indications of its propulsion and other systems. It was breathtaking. All this information, she thought. The world will never be the same. Her message light was blinking. Annoyed at the interruption, she tried to ignore its flashing yellow light, until the data bar showed that it was the Archbishop calling her. She told the phone to answer the call. The data stream from the stars disappeared, and Archbishop Overmeyer's fleshy, sweat-sheened face appeared on the wall screen in its place. "Do you know how to reach Stoner?" the Archbishop asked, with no preamble. "I think so," Angelique replied, hoping that Stoner would reply if she called to him. Overmeyer seemed to sit up straighter in his chair as he said, "I have decided to take him up on his offer to correct my health problems."
"Your Eminence," Angelique gasped.
"Nanotechnology?" "We are facing a difficult time, sister. The challenges to the new morality will be enormous. It would be cowardly of me not to face them, not to lead my flock to the new world that this Star Voyager is offering us." Angelique saw her own vision of power shriveling like a punctured balloon. Misunderstanding her silence, Overmeyer said, "I have spent most of the day praying over this question, meditating, and asking the good Lord what I should do, which way I should go."
"And he answered you?"
"Look out your window," the Archbishop said. Angelique turned and saw a spectacular rainbow shimmering over the blue waters of the Pacific. There had been no rain, she was certain. There was hardly a cloud in the sky. Yet the rainbow arced gracefully, glowing, beckoning. Stoner, she thought. Stoner's done this. And the Archbishop is allowing himself to believe it's a sign from God. "I must be prepared to lead the people through the extraordinary times that lie ahead," the Archbishop was saying in his usual slightly pompous manner. "I must be in the best of health to take on this challenging task."
"I see," Angelique replied meekly.
"God's will be done."
She nodded, accepting the end of her own dreams. "I'll try to contact Stoner and tell him of your decision, Your Eminence."
"Good," said the Archbishop.
His image disappeared, replaced by the data still streaming in from the stars.
"So he's made his decision."
Angelique whirled in her chair to see Stoner standing on the other side of the room. "You knew he would," she said.
"I thought he would," Stoner corrected. "He's no fool. He knows the world is going to change very rapidly now. So he's decided to change with it, to adapt to the new world."
Angelique murmured, "Yes, I suppose he will."
"And you," Stoner prodded, "will you adapt too?"
"Me?"
Angelique felt uncertain, confused. But then she heard herself say,
"I should do something to atone for Raoul's death, shouldn't I?"
"So should I," Stoner said, utterly serious. "I'm just as responsible for his death as you are."
"You, but..."
"There's something we both need to do. Your Archbishop is right. There are difficult challenges ahead, difficult choices. You ought to stay at his side and help him."
"He won't want me. He knows I plotted against him."
"But you're the link to me," Stoner said with a grim smile. "He'll want you very close to him in the years to come."
Angelique thought about that for a few heartbeats. Then, "You've done this to destroy the new morality, haven't you?"
He looked genuinely surprised. "Destroy? No, that's not what I'm after. I'm not here to destroy anything. I'm here to help you build a new world.
A world that has no room for the new morality in it."
"The new morality will have to adapt too, have to change. So will everybody and everything else."
"I don't see how. The Archbishop won't give up his power willingly. He's even decided to accept your nanotechnology in order to stay alive and stay in power."
Stoner stepped to the king-sized bed and sat on its edge. "He's already changing. The whole world is going to change. The information now downloading from my starship is going to vastly increase the world's knowledge. Increased knowledge leads to increased wealth, and increased wealth makes people more independent, more self-reliant."
"Greedier," Angelique murmured. "More grasping." You have a poor opinion of your fellow human beings.
Don't you?
He almost smiled. You look at the human race as a bunch of fallen angels. I see them as apes reaching for the stars.
With your help.
They would have gotten there on their own. It would just have taken longer.
So you've given them your gift from the stars.
And now the real work begins, Stoner said. Transforming the world. Sharing the knowledge and wealth fairly with all the Earth's peoples. Angelique looked at Stoner with new hope in her eyes.
That's an enormous task.
Grinning back at her, he replied, I never said it would be easy.
And you? She asked. What will you do?
I'll be here. My family and I will remain nearby to help wherever we're needed. Then he leveled a finger at her. But it's your job, not ours. We'll help, but you've got to do the real work, the hard work. She nodded.
I see. I understand, I think.
Good. Maybe when things are moving in the right direction, you can join some of the colonists who'll want to settle one of the new Earths.
Angelique gasped at the thought.
Smiling brightly at her, Stoner got to his feet and disappeared. Chapter 10 Well, Stoner said, like it or not, we've set it in motion. He and Joe, Kathy and Rick, stood at the edge of the Grand Canyon. Millions of years of Earth's history were etched into the rocks that dropped away nearly 2 kilometers to the river running patiently below. Humankind's ancestors had barely begun fashioning stone tools when that river started wearing away these rocks, Stoner knew. This canyon is a good gauge of how far we've come. Behind them the sun was setting, throwing long shadows against the silent canyon walls. Birds of prey circled lazily against the molten gold of the sky. Joe leaned her head against his shoulder.
Do you think it's going to work? Can we save the human race?
Stoner glanced down at her beautiful face. Can they save themselves? That's the question. We can help, but they've got to learn how to save themselves. Rick scuffed a boot against a pebble, sent it tumbling over the edge of the cliff.
That's always been the question, hasn't it?
They've got the tools now, said Stoner. The knowledge. Thanks to you, the narcotics business won't be hindering them. Until they start mass-producing designer drugs. Stoner shrugged. You've given them a start, a breathing space. Maybe they'll use it wisely. We'll see.
Their birth rate is going to drop, Kathy said, a satisfied smile on her lips.
Stoner looked down at his daughter. You forced a major change on them. Kathy did not back away by so much as a millimeter.
It's a needed change. Unless they lower their birth rate, nothing else we can do will help them.
They're going to be furious when they find out, he said.
Furious? Joe countered. At what? At not having to bear 6 or 10 children? At having only 2 or 3? The women of the world will be relieved, Keith, not furious. Besides, Dad, said Kathy, it'll be years before they realize what's happened. Decades. By the time they figure it out, the world will already be getting better because of the lower birth rate.
Her father shook his head. I wouldn't have done it that way. Joe stood beside her daughter.
Of course you wouldn't have done it that way. It's basically a woman's problem. It took a woman to come up with the solution.
Stoner looked from his wife to Kathy's expectant face and back to Joe again. We'll see. Rick laughed.
They outmaneuvered you, Dad. Might as well admit it.
Stoner's only reply was a sound halfway between a sigh and a grunt. Kathy's expression turned serious, thoughtful. She looks so much like her mother, Stoner thought.
There's something else, she said.
What? With a smile slowly lighting up her face, Kathy replied,
Raul Tavalera's DNA sequence. We can recreate his DNA sequence?
Joe asked. Shaking his head, Stoner said, I thought of that, but his medical records don't include that information. I checked. The authorities here consider it immoral.
But not the authorities on Goddard, Kathy retorted, beaming. I tapped into their records. They've got DNA sequencing, gene mapping, everything. The people out there don't have religious taboos against it.
Rick tousled his sister's hair. And no lawyers either, I bet.